Why was I not here last weekend? Because I was at Balkanalia. It was a blast. And one of the people who was there, by good fortune, was our Coast Community Radio friend, Hank Bradley. And I just picked up an album of his. It's called Moon Over Mendocino. If you don't know Hank, you'll probably get a bit of his flavor. Some of you know him already. He and his wife, Kathy Whitesides, have been here before. And there was a lot of Greek music that weekend. I'll just leave it at that and then see if you can catch the words, too. Thanks for being here. This is Carol, your host, 503-325-0010. Got a full show with Carlos Reyes and Jin Lowry and Lauren Montacan and Spider Murphy. So do stay tuned to your favorite Coast Community Radio.
Shambles. See the homeless sleeping in the brambles. We all need new directions. Let's have some new elections. Senators and congresspersons, some are bad and some are worsens. It's time to get together. Vote the rascals out forever. Bad old days will soon be over. When the winners come take over. And stop complaining. Hit the streets and start campaigning. Photo ops and snappy sound bites lead the way to happy love bites. Shaking hands and kissing babies somehow enlighten the ladies. White lies don't count for sinning. Doing what it takes for winning. Bad old days will soon be over. When the winners come take over. Discrimination. Traffic jams won't cause no cusses. We'll all ride trains and buses. Winning will be such enjoyment. Put an end to unemployment. Every worker in the nation, take a 6-week paid vacation. Bad old days will soon be over. When the winners come take over.
One and only Hank Bradley. He is hilarious, as well as a fabulous musician. And right, all songs traditional unless noted otherwise. So that is a traditional melody, but the English lyrics are by Hank And you have Franny Leopold and Kathy Whitesides on that album with him. So we need to get those guys down here. That's a 2008 album, but we didn't have it. Well, we will now, and I know you're going to hear it on Susie McCleary's folk show along with mine. Well, my first guest is here, and that is Carlos Reyes. He has done all kinds of things in this area. He's worked in schools. He's given poetry readings all up and down the coast, as well as through programs. That's how I originally met him. Tonight, now don't believe everything you read. It's tonight, not tomorrow night. Carlos is going to be at Lucy's Books. That's 348 12th Street, right across the street from the Elliott. And the reading begins at 7 p.m., or the gathering begins at 7 p.m. And so, welcome, Carlos.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be back. As you were talking, I was trying to think when the last time I was here. I'll bet it's been 20 or 25 years since I was actually on the radio here.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah. It's possible. This is our 30th year.
Yeah.
We're celebrating our 30th anniversary next year. Holy cow, I didn't realize
that. Well, I could be off, but usually when it's been 10 years and it's been 15 or 20.
Yeah, I know how that goes.
Trying to compensate there a little bit, but I'm happy to be back.
Yes, I am too. So I mentioned that you've done things. Why don't you tell folks? I know you've worked in various schools.
Well, for a long time, I came to Astor Middle School. I think it was Astor Middle School. I was here almost every year with the students. And
how was that? How did the students go for poetry?
Well, I've never had a problem with how they go with poetry. No, it was great. It's always great. They've got great imaginations. And if they can write, and by then they can write, it works very well. So, I have a great time. I've been doing it since about 1982.
Mm-hmm. And holy cow, Carlos, that's when I started the arts and education, too. We started the same time.
I know, but at the same time. Yeah. And, let's see, next month I'll be off to a Montessori school to do the same thing. But I've kind of cut down a little bit, and I don't travel quite as much. Yep. I used to travel all over Oregon, Washington, and Nevada, doing this, but I'm mostly around Portland now.
Yeah,
but,
that's great. Now, a Montessori school is what age is that?
Well, this particular Montessori school is unusual. It's, I think, K through 12.
Oh.
Well, I think they cut the high school, but it's at least K through 6. And I'm usually thinking of Montessori as
little ones.
A little guy.
Yeah, but, me too.
This is a much broader group, and
it
should be fun.
Excellent. Okay, so you get to go to schools because you're a poet, but you've also put out writings. And what's your history on that?
My publication, you mean, or writing?
Yeah.
Well, it's been pretty good. For the longest time, I had a book out about every 10 years, but it sort of collapsed. And in the last 8 years, I've had 3 books. So speeding up. And I'm very happy because I figured it out. I'm 77 years old. 10 years, I'd be 87. 10 more years, I'd be 97. You know.
I better hurry up.
Speed
and get
it
this.
Up. Okay. So I'm very happy. The book I'm going to be reading from tonight, Pomegranate, Sister of the Heart, was like many things in my life, kind of an accident. I had entered this a book in the Idaho Prize, and it didn't win. It wasn't shortlisted. It wasn't longlisted. And so, I got the letter and saying, we're not going to use your book, and I sort of filed it away. And then about 2 months later, I had an email that said, your manuscript. And I said, what manuscript? He said, well, you didn't win the prize, but we like your book so much, we're going to do it anyway. So I said, great. And this has never happened to me in my publishing career. It's usually push, and try to get something. But this was just sort of out of the blue, and it was wonderful.
Wow,
and,
nice.
The publisher I have, Lost Horse Press, she's a straight ahead kind of person, and when she says she's going to do something, she does it. And she's very timely. This book, from about October last until January, till this book came out. So that's very fast for
me.
Yes, very unusual for publishers. It hasn't been my history.
And it's a beautiful little book. Who did the artwork?
Well, I'm very happy to tell you that my son, Mike King, who is a commercial artist in Portland, who does art for musical groups mostly, he did the image on the cover. So I'm very happy about that also.
Very nice. Okay. What's the story on pomegranate?
This book has more. The title has more possibilities than I even thought about when I gave it that title. It has all kinds of classical allusions and so forth. But I was coming back from New York late one night, and I wrote this little poem in Spanish, and I'm going to read it to you in a second. And that's where this book comes from. The poem the poem is in English, but. Here's where it goes, and I made up this word, is the title. Quinto lógico. La llave del agua es el aire. El viento es la voz de la tierra. La granada es la hermana del corazón.
Oh.
Fifth logic. The key to water is air. The wind is the voice of the earth. The pomegranate is sister of the heart.
Yes.
Now, pomegranate, many of you will know this, but the word in Spanish, granada, is pomegranate, but it's also the word for grenade, as in hand grenade.
Oh.
And so it works a lot of ways. And this was just a very fortuitous little thing that I wrote half awake coming back from New York. And I'll read it to you in English. Mm-hmm. Many of you probably already got it in Spanish, but it's called Fifth Logic. Air is the key to water. Wind is the voice of the earth. Pomegranate is the sister of the heart. So that's for the.
So you started with that just out of the blue, and the rest of the book came from that.
Well, not
you had some of the poems.
That's kind of oversimplifying. That's how the title came about, and that's kind of the title that I worked around, but the poems were a kind of interesting mix of poems. This book is a lot different than most of my books because it has stuff. I have a poem in there that was written in 1971, and some that were written a year ago.
Any of them been published before?
Not so much. A few in periodicals, in magazines.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but you brought them together for the book.
I put them together, and I also requested that I not have an editor. I wanted them just the way they are. And then when the book came out, I said, "Oh, maybe I should have had somebody look at it." And I said, "No. It's a good book.
I like it.
And I like it.
That's great. So. I want to give you one other piece of the pomegranate, which is very timely that you are here right now. And that is, all of the seeds in the pomegranate.
Exactly.
The new year, which the Jewish calendar has four new years. This is the new year of the world.
Right.
And the pomegranate is the symbol with all of the seeds.
Yeah, there's 613 mitzvahs or something.
That's right.
I hadn't thought of that.
That's wonderful.
My son picked that up immediately.
Yeah.
Well, Persephone, I didn't get. Oh, I didn't think
that. That was what first occurred to me when I saw it.
Oh, it's Persephone. And I said, well, okay, yeah, I'll take that.
See, it's a very, very rich.
But that's not the way I came in. But that's the marvel of the title. It means so many things to so many cultures and so many.
So you've just outed yourself as a Spanish speaker because you just wrote a poem in Spanish. Where does that come from? I know your name, Reyes, is nice Spanish. But
I just have to say that I've been speaking Spanish for about 60 years. It's been a part of my life for that many years. I'm not originally Spanish. I'm Irish-American. But something got a hold of me in about 1955. And I've never been. It was kind of a life change for
me.
Did
you study it in school?
Well, I didn't initially. I started out. I learned it in the streets of Panama. I learned it reading newspapers. I learned it from my friends and families, a Panamanian family. And then when I got out of the United States Army,
that's what you were doing in Panama.
Yes.
Okay.
Somebody said you have to go to school, and it had never ever occurred to me to go to school. So I said, okay, I'll go to school. He said, I'll give you money to go to school. I'll go to school. And then the question is, well, what are you going to take in school? So I said, well, I could take Spanish. And so I did. I studied it for 8 years.
Wow.
So I have at least two
were
degrees.
Were you writing at that time?
I was trying to write, mm-hmm. and I've been trying to write since about 1945, I'd say.
Uh-huh. Okay, now quick calculation. You were born in 1934.
35. 35, yeah.
So,
writing has been a major part of my life always, and but I didn't go through the traditional, I suppose, the way most people do. I didn't have the background to being a writer, and I didn't know anything about it, really. And when I...
What do you mean? What
well,
do you envision
as the
background?
Well, you know, people go to school. You know, you get an MFA in creative writing. People go to school, and they take writing classes. And it's true, I think I took a few short story writing classes at the University of Oregon, but I wasn't in a regular program. That was not my program. But something in me wanted to write poetry, and so I stumbled along, and I've been stumbling along for about 60
years.
You've
been very successfully stumbling,
finally,
I must say.
Looking back, that was what it was meant to be. But it's just like so many things in my life. It's just happened sort of by
organically
accident.
There. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
My fate.
Well, wonderful.
Kismet.
So now, do you have another poem to read us?
Well, I want to read a poem that I wrote right here in Astoria. We actually had a snow day one spring, and I was sitting, and I can't remember the folks I was staying with, but I was looking out at the river when I wrote this poem, and I've dedicated it to John Haynes, who was a premier Alaskan poet, a naturalist, and I was in Alaska about a year ago for a month writing. And I thought this would work in with my Alaskan poems. I have a group of poems called Sitka Poems about Sitka, Alaska, which, by the way, they have a radio station just about like this. It's called KCAW.
Actually, you know, I think Spud Siegel worked there when he was
great.
There. Yeah.
So this poem is dedicated to John Haynes, kind of after the fact. He had a wonderful poem about sawdust.
Mm-hmm.
Morning Barge. This morning, scant light dust the dun to dull hills across the river. Framed in my window, a tug pushes its barge of cellulose ghosts, pushes its load of smothered sighs of golden dust of trees upriver, away from the lead-gray sea. In the fog-dampened morning, no swirl of east wind whipping the mountains of saw dust on the barge of morning. Carries no memory of leaves, no forest remembered of branches moving in a waltz of trees. At the end of the journey, in the air conditioning of some pale office, only papers rustling beneath a weary hand, reminder mm-hmm. of a leaf.
Mm. Wow.
And I just recently reworked this poem to put it into this collection I'm putting together.
Okay. Your next collection.
Yes.
Okay.
Quite likely.
Well, Carlos, we could talk forever, but I think best is to just let folks know tonight. Remember, it is tonight. Please spread the word, because there was some miscommunication and it was listed as tomorrow night in Coast Weekend. So tonight at 7 p.m.
Yes.
at Lucy's Books, and that's on 12th Street. 348 12th Street. Carlos will be there. He will be reading from his new book, and I'm sure signing if you are interested in them. And more than happy to answer questions.
Absolutely.
Am I right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Maybe you'll give us a poem in Spanish tonight, too. It's so lovely to hear your Spanish. It sounds beautiful. It's like
thank
music.
You.
So thanks so much for coming, and it's great to see you here. I'm so glad you're back.
Yeah, I'm glad
back
to
in
have
town.
The opportunity to come back here. Thanks
Good.
For having me here.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Carlos Reyes from Portland, and tonight in Astoria. And it is time for some music. We have Will West, who is going to be, it's Will West and the Friendly Strangers. They're going to be at Fort George Brewery this Sunday evening at 8 p.m., where there is music every Sunday evening. Thank you to Heidi and Jack and Chris.
And the time that passed me by, and I'm driving. And the time that passed us by, and we're flying. the time that passed me by, and I'm driving. And the time that passed us by, and we're flying.
La da da tin, la da da. La da da tin, la da da. La da da tin, la da.
Sun or the rain upon your face. Oh, well, I go on and never see a trace. And there's happiness I have known and the sorrow, but I know the sun won't rise until tomorrow.
La da da tin, la da da. La da da tin, la da da. La da da tin, la da. La da da tin, la da.
Break it down. Us by, and we're flying so high. And the time that passed me by, and I'm driving. La da da. And the time that passed us by, and we're flying
for miles and miles. Miles and miles, for miles and miles, for miles and miles.
Now here we are.
And that was Will West and the Friendly Strangers, and again, they'll be at Fort George this Sunday evening at 8 p.m. And I have, it's time for our visual artist spell right now. We're really, this is a delight to me. I love it when the show is, well, I have to admit, I love this show no matter what, because the artists are always so cool. But this one is varied. So we had a poet, we have two visual artists, and we have a musician. And we have a puppet show to talk about as well. So right now, I want to welcome one of our esteemed local artists. And it's pretty exciting to me because, well, I've known Jin Lowry for a long time in various lives. And I just read a little of your bio and saw how the whole art thing kind of came together. But I'm going to let you tell people, because you didn't always make visual art. You've always been an artist. That's
true.
What you are, who you are, creative person, and the garden. But now you have become a very serious artist, and it's very exciting. So, Jin Lowry, welcome.
Thank you. And I will just say that I was fortunate enough, after working a career as a speech pathologist and then owning a clothing store and always being an avid gardener, to finally end up a block away from the community college and the art department. And the class that hit me and what I fell in love with is printmaking.
Yeah.
And Royal Nebuchadnezzar just happened to be the instructor, which was my good fortune. So after about 4 years of dutifully taking classes and filling assignments, I bought my own press, set up my own studio.
Wow, and congratulations.
I haven't looked back. I mean,
when did you get the press?
Last year.
Just last year. That's fabulous.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, you're going to have printmakers knocking on your door now that we've outed it to the world.
Uh-oh,
here
I'm
you
in
know.
Trouble.
Well, they don't know where you live, so you're safe. But of course, you are on the art tour, so they may know where you live. But did you always feel that you wanted to do visual arts? You know, the feeling with your hands on the whatever. And
well, I grew up in a very creative household. My father was a jazz musician.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And my mother could have run any Montessori school in the world. I mean, she had seven children. There was artistic stuff everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so we sewed, we gardened, we painted, we, mm-hmm. you know, we all grew up that way. So I've always done things. Even when I was a speech pathologist, my chosen therapy material was always art or literature for the kids, because I mm-hmm. felt that could be nothing but good.
But did you think during those days, aha, when I retire?
Oh, no. It wasn't even on the horizon for me.
Wow.
Not at all.
So you decided to go up, and since you were so close to the college when you moved, you thought, well, I'll check it out.
Right.
And did you immediately fall into the printmaking, or did you try some other forms?
No, I took all the drawing classes. I took all the painting classes. And then my friend Vicki Baker, who actually, mm-hmm. we're doing this show, mm-hmm. she's also got her work on display
yes.
this month. She said, Jin, you would love printmaking because
of
the textures involved.
Uh-huh.
And she was so right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was about 4 years ago, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I have seen an explosion of printmaking in this area. And I wondered, is it happening everywhere in the world? I don't know. Is it happening in Portland even, or other places? Or is it because we have a really good art department and we had a good instructor? Or what do you think's going on? Or people affecting one another, like Vicki bringing you in? What do you think?
Well, I think there are a couple things going on. I think, first of all, I think the art department, and especially Royal, can feel nothing but pleased that so many of his former students are out there buying their own press.
Yes.
And setting up their own studios.
And he's
That's
not even
it.
Getting a commission.
No, it's just a huge compliment.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it furthers the chance that printmaking studio at the college will continue, I think. There are printmakers that are moving to town. So I don't know.
Wow, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, and is there still a group of printmakers that work together? I know at one point you had some kind of a show, whether it was at the hospital or in Longview.
Yeah, the North Coast Printmakers Collaborative. And yeah, that still happens. It hasn't happened this year, but
mm-hmm.
but everybody's still happy to participate when someone finds a venue.
Right.
You know.
When someone makes it happen.
Exactly.
Yeah. So now, let's talk about this show. It's called Road Trip. And I like the idea that we already talked about your personal road trip getting
to the
printmaking. Now to these paintings, which are gorgeous.
Thank you. They're luscious.
Yeah, I went over to the gallery yesterday, actually, and was able to see them. And they're large, too.
They are large. I'm working in a lot larger format.
Yeah.
And have started doing triptychs, which is really fun for abstract landscapes. But let me just give you a little background about Road Trip. Every fall, I take a solo road trip, and I start in Astoria. I go over White Pass, through eastern Washington, across the Idaho Panhandle, through Montana on I-90, Missoula, Butte, Bozeman, Billings. And then I end up almost in Wyoming on the Bighorn River, where I go fly fishing with my brother.
Wow.
And it is the most gorgeous drive ever. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Sometimes I pick my husband up in Billings at the airport, but it's my drive mm-hmm. by myself, mm-hmm. 3 days over, 3 days back. And it's just as much important to me as the standing in the river part is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so all these visual images, you know, through those days of driving get stored.
Mm-hmm.
Shapes get stored, colors get stored, textures get stored. And then when I start printmaking, I draw a horizon line and the rest just happens. And the last thing I put into the print is a road that leads to the horizon.
I love that idea.
Yeah, they're very captivating, you know.
They
let your mind wander wide and far,
and
they're kind of meditative.
I read that about the horizon and the road after I'd seen the pieces. So then I went back in my mind and I realized I hadn't analyzed it in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized, oh, so that's what's happening. You're pulling us along there or in.
Well, it's a printmaker's technique to put something, you know, we read from left to right, left to right. And you need something in your print that's going to take the eye back and let you start over on the left-hand side again.
Mm.
I mean, it's just, it's a technological thing, but it's also very aesthetic and
works
well.
Well.
Mm-hmm.
For painters, too.
Yeah. It's a compositional thing.
Yeah. Well, see, that's why I wanted Lauren and and Jin in here together, because not being a visual artist, I'm fresh to this, and I am thoroughly enjoying it. It's mm-hmm. just wonderful. It's wonderful to see new people come in, and it's wonderful to see old friends growing and developing, and just as I watch your work just becoming richer and richer, and it's very exciting. So congratulations on the show, and let's tell folks that this, the opening, is happening tomorrow evening. It is Art Walk. It's Second Saturday Art Walk in Astoria. So this is from 5 to 8 at Riversea Gallery. That's 1160 Commercial. And Jin has the big room. And as she said, her friend, my friend, our friend, Vicki Baker, has her own show in the right in front of it. And that is Monotypes with an Eastern Influence. She's got geishas and kabuki and kimonos. And mm-hmm. it's very different from...
It's very beautiful.
It's very beautiful,
and
yeah.
Somehow I think they are complementary.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I wanted to say about these landscapes is, you know, when you get east of the mountains, it's very spare.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost an Asian feeling to me because of that. It's so elegant in the sparsity.
Yeah.
And it just lends itself to printmaking.
Mm. And the combination of the two of you having mm-hmm. this show. Very lovely. So Vicky's not here, but we're going to send out a mazel tov to her, too. And again, the opening is tomorrow night. Remember, when Astoria Art Walk happens, you can make your way around. And I will mention that, and I've got my second visual artist in the studio, and we'll talk to Lauren Montecan in a minute. I just want to mention that some of the other galleries, Studio 11 has... a workshop going on all weekend, Saturday and Sunday, and that is Shin Kolei, and it's from 10 to 6 Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 2, but Saturday evening they will have Art Walk opening, and Sunday they'll have a public open house at 2 o'clock. And then the Lightbox Gallery, our photography gallery, is showing Heavy Metal. I don't think they have any music to go with it, I'm glad to hear. But it's they're getting more and more creative with their titles, right? It's Silver, Gelatin, and Platinum, honoring the old-fashioned film.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. And they've got 56 images, and I believe there are like 40 artists involved, and 20 of them are going to be there tomorrow night, and their opening is 6 to 9. And then the deadline for Lightbox submissions for their Spooky Show 4, that happens in October, is on this coming Monday. So get your ghosts, goblins, anything that's eerie, get it into the gallery, and you can just stop by there. They're on Marine Drive between 10th and 11th. So let me shift over. Your mic's already on, Lauren. Lauren is going to be showing at the new Imogen Gallery, which is 240 11th Street. It's right on that happening corner of 11th and Marine Drive. And it's the former home of Luna Boy. And Terry Sund has opened and created a beautiful space. So welcome, Lauren.
Thank you.
Been on this show before?
I have not.
Have you been on radio before?
I have, with Ava Lake in Portland. Do you know her?
I don't, but that means you're not a radio virgin, but you are a Coast Community radio virgin.
Yes, so, okay.
And this is good.
Half.
Now, that's an interesting concept, isn't it? Half virgin. We'll talk about that later. Anyway, I understand that we are lucky to have you here because you are basically en route from a show in Taos, and you're heading up to the Sitka Center for the Arts and Ecology to teach.
Yes, I teach there every summer. I do Alchemy of Materials, Idea Generation, Mixed Media Workshops. And I'm actually on the road doing that around the western states. So I was doing a residency in Taos, New Mexico for the last 6 months at the Helene Wurlitzer Foundation. And then I started my grand tour. I'm feeling a little like a musician because I taught a workshop in Muir Beach, California. I do Sitka. And then I'm off to Hollyhock at Cortez Island, B.C., and then Sun Valley Center for the Arts, and then Telluride. So I am... Yeah,
you
and
must
then
be
I, then I no, I'm not. Actually, I'm geared up for this.
So wait, what do you when you go someplace? Do you have to bring all your own material?
You know, I ship some, and I have a car where I put a ski tule that goes on the top, and I put all my art supplies. And
so you figured out a way to carry all this stuff. That could be a lesson to a lot of us. I remember the days when my partner and I used to drive from Brownsmead to Sacramento in a little Volkswagen Bug. With 10 large paintings on top. We drove slowly, but we drove all the way through.
Were they covered, or were you did you just strap them down?
Well, we strapped them down and then put a tarp over them.
Okay. Flapping in the wind.
But I'm thinking of it like, that is crazy, you know?
Right.
Nothing flew away. We were very lucky. So you're based in Portland, that is, when you get a chance to stop.
Yes.
How long have you been there?
18 years.
18 years.
Yes.
And tell us your background in art.
Well, I started in my 20s. I got a BA degree in photography, the old school type. And I just continued on and started working, tearing the photographs and painting on photographs. And I'm very interested in the deconstruction and the reconstruction. And it turned into painting. And I ended up getting my MFA at Portland State. And one thing led to another. I got a great studio, then I bought a house, and then I started teaching at the University of Portland, and it kind of stuck.
Well, it sounds, though, as though you also have this, you specified a visual dialogue. I love this statement. Visual dialogue between landscape and spiritual identity, between atmosphere and land, with mists, radiance, clusters, and I can vouch for the clusters and the orbs in your paintings that I didn't get to see all of them because they weren't out yet, but I did see some. Flora, fauna, that's why I thought you too, you know, pretty good. But a tension between painted surface and atmosphere. Tell us.
I'm interested in transcendence and things that might not be able to be seen with the naked eye and what might be felt and interconnectedness, quantum physics, for instance, how we are interconnected in time-space continuum. And why I paint that, I just have a love of beauty.
Well, you know, it's funny you say why you paint. I was going to say how you paint it.
How I paint it and why I paint it. Well, I also do an alchemy of materials, as mm-hmm. I mentioned, and so it's very mixed media. It's not one or the other. Sometimes there's collage, sometimes there's wax, sometimes there's just paint, and sometimes it's just drawing. So the act itself.
Now, you're going to be opening a show tomorrow evening. What are we going to see in this show?
I believe it's titled New Works.
Yes, in oil.
In oil, but
is that
it's
true?
It is. But you know, it's oil and some wax. Uh-huh. And what these are the works that I was doing in the Southwest over the last 7 months.
Uh huh.
And when you look at them, you don't think, "Oh, that's Taos Mountain," but it's more of what is the feeling of Taos Mountain. So it's a subjective response to place.
Mm hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So listen to this, folks. I mean, isn't that something?
So similar.
Yeah.
Subjective
yeah.
response
yeah,
to place. Yeah, emotional response to
That's
to
great.
Place,
mm-hmm.
to places, and right. how they blend together somewhat. So it becomes yet another place.
And every place is different.
Right.
And so we could have storms that happen here in the Northwest all the time and all of a sudden go to the Southwest where the sun's out and it's subtle differences. Like I've noticed in the Northwest, we have more encaustic painters.
Yeah.
Because of the waxy wax thing. You, mm-hmm. One day you see Mount Hood, the next day you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
in L.A., there's harsh angles in paintings.
Right.
Because the light is mm-hmm. can mm-hmm. be harsh, the way shadows
right.
work.
And in the Southwest, the skies take up more of the mm-hmm. painting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Huge skies.
Yeah.
And a lot of texture.
Mm-hmm. Okay, texture. Now I'm sorry to tell you folks that Jin is going to be at Riversea and Lauren is going to be at Imogen. So this is your big opportunity to hear the two of them talking together. I feel very fortunate to have that. That sometimes happens on arts when the great artists come in here. But you can see both of them and their work and talk to them. And do you get to stick around here for a little while?
Yeah, I'll be here for a few days. I'm
oh, good.
Here over the weekend.
Good,
yeah.
good. Okay, so they didn't grab you to do a workshop. You get a little time off, huh?
Yeah, and I'll be at the opening tomorrow night, of
absolutely.
Course.
Absolutely,
yes.
Absolutely, and again, that is Imogen, 240 11th. It's 11th and Marine Drive, right in that area of that newly revitalized area. And
it's
right
a beautiful around, space she
and
has.
And she has done a beautiful
mm-hmm,
job
she
on
has.
This.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also, apropos of your beginning in photography, I think you're going to, it's just a half a block away from Imogen is the Lightbox Photographic Gallery, so you'll be able to have a chance to
I'll
see that and some see some
too.
Of the artists
yeah.
too. So, well, thank you both for coming in. This has been quite wonderful. And, Jin, we had a caller, and I want to add my expression to the call, a loving farewell to Emma.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm. Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
So, well, we had Emmy Lou Harris and the guest on E-Town talking about how much they love dogs. So, you know.
Thanks.
Okay. Mm. Thanks so much, and congratulations to you both, and we'll see you tomorrow night.
Thanks for
Thanks,
having
Carol.
Me.
Thanks, Carol.
Okay. This is KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook. I have some music from Maggie Kitson. Maggie Kitson Band is going to be playing at the Sand Dune in Manzanita tomorrow night at 9 p.m. And then do stay tuned. My last guest is, in person, Spider Murphy.
The word is about, there's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating. The newspapers shout, a new style is growing. But they don't know if it's coming or going. they don't know who's singing. Why ask your head? It's your hips that are swinging.
Oh, but yeah. Swinging hips. Swinging hips, that's Maggie. Maggie Kitson Band. Again, that's tomorrow evening, Saturday evening at 9 p.m. at the Sand Dune in Manzanita. Well, now I've got some, let's hear a little music. Let me tell you what else is happening while I have some really fun music behind me. Tonight, of course, the Peace Vigil, with hopes that someday we'll have peace and won't need to vigil. Coaster Theater is Charlie Brown. You're a good man, Charlie Brown. 8 p.m. and tomorrow night is Arsenic and Old Lace. 8 p.m. You know, these are coming to a close at the Coaster, so you better get on down there. Astor Street Opry Company, same thing. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7:30. Only a couple more weeks. Next weekend is the last one. Lonesome Heroes from Texas and the Cedar Shakes, local band at the Hoffman Center, tonight, and then on Sunday at Vino Manzanita. Sand Trap and Gearheart, 7 o'clock is Hip Shaken Blues with Billy D. Carlos Reyes at Lucy's. Liza Jones and Paul Miller with Landscapes, a new art show at NCRD in Nehalem. Floating Glass Balls are at the Manzanita Farmers Market from 5 to 8 tonight. And a music festival Northwest in Portland is going on. Tomorrow is a big hoo-ha on Saturday and Sunday at the Clatsop County Historical Society games and old-fashioned games. And it's also the Commercial Fishermen's Festival Saturday and Sunday in Hammond. And second Saturday Art Walk, we talked about Brenda Sue, and there's a whole bunch of galleries that are going to be showing stuff. I only mentioned a few. Brenda Sue McCabe is at the Astoria Library at 3 p.m. And, by the way, in the Maggie Kitson Band is Skinny Lynn on horns, Richard T., Dave Gager, and Kaylin Ulig. And here's a big one in the afternoon at 2 p.m. at the Liberty. It's the 2012 George Lucas film Red Tails about the Tuskegee Airmen. And there is an actual guest airman who is going to come for Q&A. That's the Astoria International Film Festival benefit. Studio 11 has Sheen Collet that I mentioned. Psychedelic punk group People's Temple. Folks, I don't have their music here, but you can bet it's going to be absolutely outrageous. It's two sets of brothers tomorrow night, 8 p.m., all age at 11th and Harrison. That's the Presbyterian Church or the Astoria Arts and Movement Center. And it's a KMUN benefit. Yeehaw! Impromptu art show 5 to 7 at Woolly Bear Cafe in Nehalem. Cannon Beach Gallery has an opening from 6 to 8 at Deborah DeWitt and a juried show as well. And Sunday, here's another big one, 7:30, Iron Will Tate puppet show. Mature audiences, 16 and older. It's funny. It's 30 handmade puppets by two young. I saw a preview. They're quite wonderful, and they're on a road trip, and so are the puppets. Sunday Afternoon Live, if you're in the Raymond area, is 2 o'clock on Sunday. Classical music at Mayumi Tayaki on piano and Meta Weiss on cello, and Will West at the Fort George. Tuesday, North Coast Chorale has rehearsals. We begin at 6:45. There's an informational meeting on Sunday. Call 2 to 7. There's a phone number if you want the information. Coconuts are at Sweet Basil's on Wednesday, and Balkan folk music and folk dance and Scandinavian folk dance at the Senior Center Wednesday evening. And now I'm going to just turn up the mic and let you listen to Spider Murphy playing some music for you.
Fireplace, a cozy room, Oh, little nest that's nestled where the roses bloom in Miami. Oh, baby, make three. Oh, have you mine? Oh, happy in mine, blue, blue.
All right.
I know if I'm making you smile, Carol, I'm making everybody smile.
That's beautiful. It's beautiful. Your voice sounds as good and better than ever.
Well, it's these $3.5 million microphones you got here.
Oh, yeah. That's us. Yeah. That and do you notice my fashionable earphones?
I love your earphones.
Do you like that? Yes. Yes. That's...
What happened to your left ear?
Yes. Well, there you go then, don't you? Here it is, lying around.
Oh,
it
my
popped
God.
Popped off, and I'm going to... I'm a one-eared...
It's kind of like a Van Gogh thing. You have Van Gogh's ear for music.
That's scary. That's very scary. But good. But good. So, Spider, you're in town. Now, usually you're in town for the Tenor Guitar Festival.
Which is a good thing. June is a very good time to be here, and it's beautiful. But I was just sitting out on the porch with my friend Chris, Chris Kortenhoven.
Hi, Chris.
I hired Chris. Chris is now my right-hand guy.
Okay.
He's my go-to.
I see.
And we're sitting out there, and it is so beautiful.
Yes.
And I was down, we were down in Louisiana about 3 weeks ago, or 2 weeks ago.
Oh, dear.
And it was Sunday, and I went into Rouse's grocery store to get a pack of cigarettes. And there were people fist fighting, actually fighting in the aisles, punching each other, trying to get the last bag of ice and the last propane bottle. And I don't watch TV. I listen to radio. NPR radio, right. But not television. And I'm there, what's going on? And they said, hurricane. Oh. It was turning the corner of that tip out there, the Florida tip.
Yeah.
So we went, Chris and I got in the car, and we said, we got to get out of here. And I was down there. I had a week's worth of gigs, but I was down there mainly to look for property. I want to move down there. I want to keep my place up in the Rockies, but I want to go down there for the winter because we're going to have a bad winter. Mm-hmm. It already snowed 3 times up there.
Oh, Lordy.
I know, 3 times in August. And there's weird weather going on all over the country.
I wonder why. No, there's no such thing as climate change.
Oh,
don't be silly.
No global warming.
So you heard there was a hurricane? You jumped
We hightailed it out there, but I figured I'd go back down like in a couple more weeks because the property will be really cheap down there.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
What did float away.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, I hope none of the lives floated away. That's the most important part.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing what's going on here. So you are up here, though, because you're going to be, you are
2 weeks. I'll be here to the 15th, and I'll work my way back. On the 15th is a Saturday. I'm going to be over at the Moose Lodge.
Right.
And I want to thank Heidi Johnson for at the Heidi's hangout there. She got me the gig.
The Hideout.
Hideout, yes.
You know, Heidi's a programmer here on KMUN.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yes. Thursday nights, she is. And she's responsible for putting lots of musicians around in various places.
Oh, Lord, that's great news.
I love what she does. So you're going to be playing at the Moose on the 15th.
The Moose on the 15th.
And you're also...
I'm going to be all over.
A couple of markets, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to be doing the farmer's market here. When is that?
That's on a Thursday.
Yeah, that's Thursday. I'm going to be at the farmer's market in Long Beach up in Washington on Friday, September 14th.
Okay. And then Saturday at the Moose.
Okay. I'm going to be also going up to Washington. I'm doing the Westport Blues Festival this Saturday. Oh, that's tomorrow.
Yes, it is.
I'm going to be there. And then I'm going to be down in Newburg, Oregon.
Holy moly.
At the Newburg Music Center, my buddy G.D. Armstrong. He took a class, one of my workshops over at the Tenor Guitar Festival.
Oh,
and he came
neat.
Up and I asked him if I could do a workshop over at his music store. Uh-huh. He's a fantastic luthier.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to be over there Sunday. And Moose, like, of course.
Wait a second. You're going to be there this Sunday?
Yeah.
Geez, you really are making... time.
And I'm looking at that bridge. I never crossed over to the Washington side.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But just in these next 2 weeks, I'm going to think I'm going to cross
6 times
going back and forth, which is, it's beautiful
it
up
is
here.
It is beautiful.
But I'm thinking,
especially on a day like today.
Yeah, maybe I should buy some property up here.
Oh, there you go.
My wife and
just don't bring any hurricanes.
No more hurricane. I got a song about that. But
we only have 5 minutes.
Five minutes?
Yeah.
What should we do?
Yeah. Well, at first I just wanted to, there are people who don't know you. you, because they don't even know what we're talking about. They don't even know what a tenor guitar is. That's what you were just playing. Tell them. What's a tenor guitar?
Well,
and who the heck are you?
I play tenor guitar. It's an instrument that fell in the cracks. It's a traditional American instrument, four-string guitar, and I'm supposedly the foremost world best player.
Woo!
I
like it.
It's very, very cool because people are calling me all the time now.
That's good.
They never used to call me.
Aww.
But I play tenor, banjo, mandolin, and I just bought a beautiful 1935 L50 guitar, which I'm originally a guitar player.
Now, how many strings were on that?
Six.
Too many. Too many. Yeah, the tenor instruments have only four.
Four.
That's what makes them so
unusual. Oh, and they're so
unusual.
They're beautiful.
So
sounding.
You said just now you were originally guitar player. You were also a banjo player?
Tenor banjo.
So what's your musical history? Have you been
musical history? My dad was a musician and he got me going. He was an organ player. He would bring me to the clubs along the Connecticut coastline, and I would play for the Irish sailors and everything with my dad, and he started me on ukulele when I was about three.
Oh, my.
I started on guitar lessons when I was six and got my first electric when I was eight. Then the Beatles hit, and Mom was disgusted with that, and so I said, that's what I'm going to do. And then I went to Berklee College in Boston for 4 years, got a degree in arranging and composition, and that and 50 cents will get you a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And then I spent 20 years in Los Angeles in Santa Barbara and made a living at it, raised a family.
Yeah.
Writing cool commercials.
Who'd you play with?
I played with Leon Redbone, Leo Kottke, The list goes on and on. And then around the late 80s, I decided I don't want to be a side guy again. Oh, I backed up Joan Rivers. I had an orchestra back in Joan Rivers. And,
oh, God, that must have been a kick.
Oh, that was hilarious. She had Gary, you know who Gary Shandling is? He was a comedian. He had a bunch of really good comedian. And we're running out of time.
Yeah.
Should I do one more song?
Yeah.
See me or Google.
Yes. Okay, that's the most important thing. Yeah, go ahead.
Google Spider Murphy. It's www.spidermurphys.net, and there's 80 songs on there you can download for free. All you have to do is leave your website.
I mean
your email, and I'll give you 80 songs for free.
There you go, and it's well worth it. You can hear them right here, right now. Next week, the 15th, so today's the 7th, so next Saturday night he's going to be
at the Moose.
Right here in Astoria, that's 17th and Duane, and he'll be playing at
the Farmer's Market
in Astoria, the 13th, and Long Beach on the 14th, and he's going to take us out with music, and we are going to go over to... Free Speech Radio News. Thanks for being here. Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, and coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world.
You gotta live a little, die a little. Sometimes you're gonna cry a little. And that's a story of, that's a glory of love. You gotta sing a little, dance a little. Sometimes you're gonna take off your pants a little. And that's a story of, that's a glory of love. There's two of us, got the world, and all its charms.
Thanks, Spider. Spider Murphy, check him out.